Today, we're going to continue on the study we've been doing on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. In fact, we're in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, and we're going to look at some noteworthy verses in the book of Revelation. So we may conclude our study today. We began in Genesis many weeks ago, and here we are in Revelation. So I want us to turn to Revelation chapter 1 in verse number 3. The Word of God says, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Revelation is not a sealed book that we should be afraid of. No, it is a blessed book that can bless us. Amen. Revelation chapter 1 verse 5 says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." We see here that no one is washed from sin in the baptismal waters. My dear listeners, only the blood of Jesus Christ can wash away sin. Amen to that. A revelation. Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. The Word of God says, as Jesus speaks to the church here at Ephesus, "I know thy works and thy labor, in thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them, which say they are apostles and are not, and last found them liars." We see here the Lord didn't rebuke the church for judging others. In fact, he commended the church for exposing liars. You know, we often get a lot of this that we're not to judge, but we are to judge. We're to judge righteous judgment, we're to judge appearance, we're to judge, we're to try the spirits, amen, using the Word of God. Alrighty, Revelation chapter 2, verse 6, again, is God is the Lord Jesus Christ is dealing with the church at Ephesus. He says, "But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate." Now, there are differing views on what the deeds of the Nicolaitans were, but even the meaning of the word itself is instructive. My dear listeners, it's a compound word consisting of niko, meaning to kick or jolt, and laitans, meaning lay or common people. So the word itself means to conquer the laity, as the Roman Catholic Church has done for centuries with its corrupt priesthood. That in it itself is enough to ensure the Lord's hate. Amen. Now let's turn to Revelation chapter number 3 in verse 8, as the Lord Jesus Christ is addressing the church at Philadelphia. He says, "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name." Now, that open door, that's the open door of the Protestant Reformation, the Philadelphia church period that produced the King James Bible, all the revivals and missionary works, between 1500 and 1900 AD and the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, and the freedom of religion as expressed in the Bill of Rights. My dear listener, when God opens a door, he rarely opens a door. Amen. Now let's look in, we're in Revelation chapter 3. Now let's begin reading in verses 14 to 22. Again, we're looking at some noteworthy verses in the book of Revelation. And the Word of God says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, verses 22, "And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, and I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Now, as a stark contrast to the Philadelphian church period, this is the apostate Laodicean period that we're in right now, that runs from the late 1800s until Jesus returns sometime beyond 2000 AD. Every Christian should understand the spirit of Laodicea in order to avoid being a part of the apostasy. Amen to that. We are in the last days, the last period of the church age, the Laodicean church age. Amen. As we see characteristic of that church age, buildings, great church buildings. Amen. Wealthy churches with a lot of people coming. All they're hearing is the heaven their ears tickled. The music program promotes the music of the devil. They use the perverted Bibles. We're in the apostasy. We're in the end times. Let us beware of that spirit so that we do not become a part of it, and we stand for the truth until the Lord returns for us. Amen and amen. All right, Revelation chapter 4, in verse number 1, we read this. "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, Come up hither. And when I will show thee things which must be hereafter." Now, what I want us to see here is John's trip to heaven pictures the rapture of the church. That this explains why the words church or churches are not mentioned in chapters 4 through 21. All righty, we're in Revelation chapter 4. Let's visit verse 11. Verse 11, Revelation chapter number 4 with me. In Revelation chapter 4, notice what it says here in verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So I ask you the question as we read that verse. Why were you created? One reason is given here: for God's pleasure. You weren't created for God to please you. You were created to please Him. We need to remember that. That's one of the reasons we were created. All right, Revelation chapter 5, in verses 9 and 10, we read this. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. No one is singing about their good works here, or their baptism, or their church membership. No, they're all singing about the blood. Amen. The blood. What shall wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood. Amen. Power. Wonder-working power in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why they're singing about the blood. The blood that redeemed you and I and all of those who will trust and place their faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. The gospel, plain and simple, is Christ died. He died for our sins, according to the scripture, was buried, and he was raised the third day, according to the scriptures. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel of the grace of God. That is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Amen. All right, Revelation chapter 7 in verses 1 through 12. Amen. It begins and we read, it says, And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servant of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And then, of course, he goes and he mentions 12 tribes, 12,000 sealed from each one of those 12 tribes. And then in verse 9, it says, And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindred, people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed, amen, with the Lamb, there he is, clothed, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and under the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne, about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne of their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Now, so we see here that the 144,000 have nothing to do with Jehovah's Witnesses and Kingdom Hall. They are clearly 12,000 Jews that'll be sealed from each of the 12 tribes that will be witnesses for the Lord God Almighty. Amen. Now, Revelation chapter 13, verses 13 and 14, we read, And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword, which had the wound by a sword and did live. Now, here we see in these two verses, that's where the charismatic movement is headed, with all of its signs and wonders. And all of those signs and wonders are to deceive the people. Amen. We see a lot of false antichrists today. Amen. They claim to have the signs and wonders. But come the tribulation, my dear listeners, there will be those that will have signs and wonders to deceive people, to get them to worship the beast. Amen. The Antichrist. And we see here mentioned in verse 14, obviously, he's going to be wounded, appear dead, but come alive again. Amen. Trying to copy Christ, imitate Christ. That's all that devil is a cheap imitation. Amen to that. Alrighty, so we're in Revelation chapter 13. And I want us to look at verses 16 through 18. And we read this. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and born, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, in that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And here is the wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of a beast, for it is the number of man, and his number is 666. 666. Now that's where our age of technology is headed, with all of its barcodes, computer chips, and electronic money. In fact, recently I heard of one company. It's not mandatory, but they're on a volunteer basis. Their employees are having a chip implanted into them. Amen. So the technology is here. It's all set up for the Antichrist to come on the scene. But we thank God, if you're born again and you're saved, that you're not going to be around for the tribulation. Because the wrath of God does not abide upon us. The wrath of God is going to be poured out upon the earth during the tribulation like no one has ever seen. We have all this cataclysmic weather, be it hurricanes, tornadoes, rainstorms, windstorms, snowstorms, earthquakes, you name it. All I can say is you haven't seen anything yet until the tribulation. Amen. And thank God for his mercy, for his grace, that you and I, who are saved by the blood of the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we won't be around for any of this. Amen and amen. That's all I got to say. Revelation chapter 18, verses 12 to 13. We read, the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manners of vessels of most precious wood, of brass and iron and marble, in cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil, in fine flour and wheat, and beasts, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves, and souls of men. Notice the first thing on the list is the souls of men. Or last thing, rather, on the list is the souls of men and God, and gold is first. Amen. Now, Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, we read this. We start off in chapter 19, verse 11, and I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword that with it he should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, Kings of Kings and Lords of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of the heaven, Come and gather yourselves together under the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And it goes on. And when I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him, amen, against him and that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. And they were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Amen. Burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all fowls were filled with their flesh. My goodness. And it goes on, does it not? In chapter 20, verse 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the keys of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into a bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive, that he should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. After that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus Christ, for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither the image, neither had received this mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. This whole passage that we just read makes it clear that the millennial kingdom immediately follows the second coming of Christ, rendering post-millennialism Christ's return after the kingdom a false teaching, and it renders amillennialism, there will be no millennium, a false teaching. The pre-millennial view is the correct view that is embraced by true Bible believers. Amen. Now, we're getting close to our time here. We're almost done with our series on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. But let's look at Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. And I saw a great white throne judgment, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the final judgment of the wicked dead who rejected the will of God, commonly called the white throne judgment. It is not to be confused with the judgment seat of Christ, which is found in Romans 14:10 and 2 Corinthians 5:10, which is for saved people only. Amen to that. And then we want to see Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, and from things which are written in this book. This is the last of three distinct warnings about altering the word of God. One is early in the Bible, Deuteronomy 4:2. One is in the middle, Proverbs 36. And one here is at the end. Revelation 22, verse 20, is the last prayer of the Bible. It says, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The last prayer of the Bible, and it should be the prayer of every Christian living today. Nothing could be better than the return of Jesus Christ today. Amen and amen. Well, we've concluded our study on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. We've gone from Genesis to Revelation. And so this series of studies is available on CD. All you need to do is drop me a line. Thank you for joining me for the series, and I pray you join me next time for the Pastor's Study. This is Brother Gino saying, may God richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.